What an interesting time of the year it is to realize that we are in the middle of November already, and there's not much year left at the end of the year. And many times at the end of the year or close to the end of a season, we come to a place where we want to slow down a little bit, have some rest, focus on other things, and look at, you know, at what has been happening throughout the year and what's going to happen next year. But there's still a lot of life left in 2024. There's still a lot left for us to do. There's still a lot left that God wants us to do and look at and be and all of those things. And I want to share a message this morning purely out of my heart, in what I'm trusting God for to say and do this morning is to bring some fresh hope. Because at the end of the year, things are going down, and I know in my own personal life that I'm already thinking about 2025. And that does injustice to the time that God has given me for this year, that there's still a lot left that God wants me to do in this year. And should I already be so far ahead, then I might miss what God is saying for this year and what God is doing in my life in this year and what He still wants me to do. But in that, I need to share a bit in what has happened in my life to bring me to this space. And I think if I can get a little bit of lower, the bass is a bit overpowering. That sounds a lot better. Thank you. Amen. So leading up to this, to where I am in life at the moment, and they always say don't make yourself the hero of your own sermon, and God is the hero and Jesus is the hero. I'm not the hero. I might have been the villain for a very long time in God's story, but by His grace I have been saved and I've been set free, and I came to know Jesus and see how much He has done in my life. And one thing that we do when we are still busy in that journey with God is we miss how far we have come, because we are not where we need to be yet. It's like, oh God, if I can just be there, if I can just be in that space in my life, if I, maybe for the younger guys, if I can just get married, or if I can just be done with my studies and move on to the next, that we miss where we are in this moment. And the most beautiful time to be in is in this moment. The most significant is now, because God is speaking to you now. God is not speaking to you yesterday, although He might have, hopefully He spoke to you yesterday. But today is a fresh day, and we get to hear from God today. Maybe God's going to speak tomorrow, but we don't know that yet. God has spoken today, and we are alive today. That there's something that God has been stirring in my heart about focusing on the moment where we are in, and not daydreaming about the future and fantasizing about the past, that maybe if I did this or maybe if I did that. Until I read a verse that we preached on the other day in Psalm that says that the Lord directs our steps and He holds us by the hand. And that just did something in my life, because man, if I look back at my life in the mess that I have made my own life to be, and our God has been so faithful and so kind and so gracious in sending His Son Jesus, who changed my life, that I can believe in God and have life. Because there was a time that I did not have life. I was consumed by depression. I was consumed by drugs. I was consumed by anything a young man should not consume himself with that leads to destruction. Until God one day came and He truly set me free, and everything changed. And it's good to say that, oh, I'm so glad God can do that for you, but I never think God can do this for me. And there's some few areas in my life that I, being a born-again Christian, I believe God can set me free from everything, but that thing, there's no way that God can ever set me free from that thing. I will go to the grave with that thing. Until I started trusting God for it and said, God, if I know that You are God, Your Son Jesus died on the cross so that I can be set free from these things that are holding me back to become who You have called me to be. Surely, God, You can do something. And I became so desperate before God, say, God, I need this stuff done with in my life. I cannot continue to live this way. I cannot continue to be this person. And from that wrestle, knowing that there's so much more that God has for me, and just one day breakthrough came, and I'm like, God, how is it even possible? I'm sorry that I thought you cannot set me free from this, because I was so consumed in that hole by all these things that were that were taking control of my life, until I realized that I need to let go of something. Something needs to happen. And you will speak to people and they will say, ah, we all have our things, you know. Sanctification is a process and God will deal with it one day. And yes, God will deal with it one day, but I don't want my heart to be complacent in saying, well, it's okay if I sit with this for another 6 years, because there will be, in heaven, I will no longer need to worry about this anyway. So That's wrong thinking, because God wants to do something in your life now. He wants to change something in your life now. And He has done so much already in your life leading up to this pivotal moment. But when we daydream too far ahead, or we fantasize about the past, ach, if I just did this, or maybe if I maximize my opportunities, which I used to do, I had to come to a place and say, God, you made my life work out the way you wanted it to be. Because you are sovereign and you are God and my life is in your hand. And if your word says that you guide me by the hand and you direct my steps, then surely there's something so spiritual when we come to God and say, God, I need to make a decision. And then you make that decision. When God is not in your life, then it doesn't really matter what choices you make, because you are not living for God. You are living for yourself and your own passions and your own desires and your own future. But the day you give your heart to God, is that not a form of surrendering your will over to God and say, God, your will and not my will. So let me be changed to be more like you. And then something starts to happen, because I no longer seek my will. I might still have my desires and my own view of what I want my future to be, but ultimately there's a surrender to say, God, it's in your hands. And then God directs the steps of those who believe in Him. So I just wanted to add that in. So let me dig into Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17. And I want to speak on, in the trajectory of life, we are all moving somewhere. But in moving somewhere, going a direction, we need to leave some things behind. And only through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, through Jesus who gave Himself for us on the cross, can we deal with those things. It's the most interesting thing that people say, oh, the day I stop smoking, I will come back to church. Like, that's the place where you get free from smoking in the first place. It's like wanting to clean yourself before you take a shower. It just does not make sense. But that's the way some people live, that if I start obeying God, then I'll start believing in Him. Like, that sounds backward, because you obey Him because you believe in Him, and you believe Him because you had a life change and you realize that God is true, living and active, and I'm going to give myself over to Him. Then only, I mean, before I go to the verse I want to read, let me read Hebrews. It's just such a beautiful verse for me, because it speaks so true. And I find so much irony in it for myself, because that's just how my mind works, and I thank God for that. It's that Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Meaning we need to acknowledge that there is a weight that we need to lay down. And then the writer goes and says, and sin which clings so closely. Our sin clings closely. We don't need to go and look for it. Oh, where's my sin? No, where did I put that bad habit? No, we know it. It is clinging to us. It is part of who we are. And we might think people don't see it, but even if people don't see it, God sees it. And that should be enough for us to want to change and come to a place of saying, God, I'm going to put this away. And sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that He set before us. And there is endurance in following Christ, because who has ever had only rainy days in their walk with Christ? Okay. So there are some ups and downs when we follow Christ, because we are living in a very real, very fallen world with people who have free will to choose to do whatever they want to do, and how we respond should be Christ. The world can do anything to us. They can kill us, they can stone us, they can persecute us. But one thing that they cannot do is that they cannot take Jesus from us. Because it's this morbid thing that Timothy Keller says, that the best thing that can happen to a Christian is when they die. because then they are in heaven. It's a terrible thing for those that they leave behind, but it's the best thing for them because then they are with Jesus. And it just speaks so much volume, because what in this life will ever satisfy us as much as Christ and His kingdom and following His will? There's nothing. Nothing in school, nothing in finances, nothing in anything that can ever satisfy us than to say, here is my life, Lord, I give it over to You. And now it's from that point that I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17. And we're going to read a little bit, because we just read Bible, so that's awesome. Ephesians 4 verse 17 says, "Now this I say and to testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." He is speaking of how they used to live. And in our life, we can also think that there was a time when I lived differently to what I'm living, to how I'm living now, because now I have Christ. But maybe there's some habits that is coming from the past that I brought with me into my new walk with Christ. Into the futility of their mind. It's speaking about the unfruitfulness of what we used to be and what we used to be like, if we want to directly apply it to us. That's what he's speaking about. And they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the love of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. Before I knew Jesus, I did not care much for the church, God's kingdom, or anything else. My thoughts were not biblical thoughts. My actions were definitely not biblical actions. I was not very Christ-like or very Christian when I was an unbeliever, because I was directly opposing God, and my life spoke volumes in that, into what I consumed and how I treated people and how it's just a mess that followed me. But it's in that ignorance of wanting to reject God. It's a very difficult thing to do, to reject God, because you will always have to defend that there's no God. Up to the point where when you know God exists, or when you see God exists, it's there. You have to go at very great detail and spend a lot of your life to prove that there's no God, only to come to the end of your life to realize, I was wrong. That's a terrible way to spend your time. But anyway. But it's due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But this is not the way you learn Christ. Because the day you accept Christ, the day you see what Jesus has done, the moment you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you take in, who is this Jesus? We cannot remain the same. And I'm thinking about that blind guy in the Gospel of John who was blind, and Jesus went to him, made mud, rubbed it on his eyes, and he could see partially but not fully, and then Jesus prayed for him, and he could see. From that moment, his life could never, ever, ever, ever go back to the way it was, because not only did he see Jesus, he also paid a price for that. Because when he went to let the Pharisees know, hey, I was blind, but now I see physically, Jesus has healed me, they said, who is this Jesus who is performing a miracle on the Sabbath? Totally missing out, totally ignoring the fact that this man who was born blind is now seeing. Oh, but it happened on the Sabbath, so must have been a demon. No. But that is what happens. And the way John writes that event happening, that miracle happening, it has two meanings. One to show that Jesus has the power to heal a man born blind. Because the dialogue there goes about, was this man born into sin and that's why he is blind? And Jesus says, no, it's for my glory to be displayed. So it's to show that Jesus can heal even someone born blind. And secondly, it is a spiritual level to say that Jesus opens the eyes so that we can see the truth of who He is. And once you see the truth, there's no way you can go back and say, no, that's not true. For those owning a vehicle, the day you purchase that vehicle, you know whether it's petrol or diesel, right? So you're not going to go to the garage and put in the opposite. No, because you know that you know, so that changes everything. Speaking of a car, but it works. So assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in the true in true righteousness and holiness. In holiness. In Leviticus, God says, be holy because I am holy. And Apostle Peter, in his epistles, writes the same. Be holy because God is holy. And the thing is that in the days of old, they had the law to try and be holy. And we have Jesus. It's only in him that we can ever be holy. We in ourselves cannot be holy. He is holy, and when he's in us, therefore, how we live is so crucial as an outlet or of what we believe. Because if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is the way, the truth, and the life, our lives should truly change and reflect that. And Franz spoke on that last week when he was speaking about James, and James goes into chapter 2 and he says, do not just be hearers of the word, but be doers, because what's the use if you hear something but then you don't do it, then you don't know it. And then how you live that truth out, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, changes everything. Because the day you have an encounter with Jesus, it changes everything. On the other side, I was speaking to a friend yesterday, and we were just speaking about the Holy Spirit. And David, the Holy Spirit, Jesus had not yet died in the days of David. The Holy Spirit was not poured out yet in the day of David. And how David longed for God's presence. How he longed to be in the presence of the Lord. And we have it freely, and we just go like, ah, it's okay if I do this and that in the presence of the Lord because he's always with us. It's not. Because we are changed and we are transformed, and how we live should change based on what we believe. And we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, is the way, the truth, and the life. And that changes everything. But then we might come and ask, and ah, yes, Llewellyn, I hear what you are saying, but, you know, it's so difficult because I'm struggling with sin and struggling with all these things pulling me back. Like I'm maybe one of those athletes who are training for the 100 meters, but there's a guy with a rubber holding me back. This is how you move past the stuff holding you back, because this changed my life, and I want to share it from that space, because I used to focus on my sin, not on God. When I was in that place thinking that God could never set me free from this thing, I was looking at the mountain and not at the God who made the mountain and that can move the mountain. Speaking in an analogy, I didn't say God put that mountain in my life. I'm just saying if God can create a physical mountain, he can move this mountain in my life that I created for myself. Because his son Jesus paid the price for me. But I was looking at this problem and not the Savior. And when I started to read this verse and mold it over and think about it in the letter to Titus, to chapter 2 from verse 11, it tells us, how do we deal with the stuff that's holding us back? I don't know about you, but I'm tired about being in the same space. I don't want to be here next year and be in the same spiritual place where I'm now. I don't want to be there. I don't want to next week, Sunday, I don't want to be in the same spiritual place where I'm now. I don't want to be there in 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years. I want to be free, and I want to live for Christ, and I don't want things to hold me back that has been holding me back. But how do we move from that place? Today, it's by shifting our focus to Jesus and not the problem. Because we are the problem. And Jesus came to die for us so that we can be free. And then we read this verse in Titus 2 verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. That's Jesus. That is his death on the cross. That is the price he paid for us so that we can be free and be reconciled back to God, as we read in Romans 5. And it goes on to say that this grace, what is this grace doing for us? It is training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present age. It does not say here that you train yourself to live and renounce ungodliness. No, it's the grace of God that appears. It is Jesus in your life that trains you to renounce ungodliness. And I want to tell you today that the more you focus on your problem and your sin, the less you might get free from it. But the more you focus on Jesus and His grace and what He has done for you on the cross, you will start to see the change in your life. Because it is the grace of God that has appeared, and it trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. The point is, you cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. And the more you try to do it on your own, the more you will fail, and the more you might blame God for that failure. And God might be saying, well, just look at me. Just look at me. Just come to me. I've given you everything. I've given you my son. Just come to me. And verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possessions who are zealous for good works. He is redeeming us and he's gathering a people for himself that will reflect him. Because if we ever want to know what is God like, just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. The way he loved people, the way he treated people, how gracious he was, how merciful he was, how firm he stood on the truth. And I don't know if you, I know we're only in November, but next year, 1 January is going to come like that. And maybe someone is sitting here and I need a devotional plan for next year. Can I give you one? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the whole year. If you want to do devotional, read 2 chapters of a gospel every day. And if you went through all 4 gospels, begin again and see how you change. Because you are face to face with Jesus. You are face to face with God Himself in human flesh. There will be change. But the thing is, maybe we don't run to Jesus anymore. Maybe we are so comfortable to just sit in one place and say, "Ah, it's okay. I will get to God on Sunday." It's there. The choice is yours to sit with God every day. To invite the Holy Spirit into your life and say, "Train me to renounce and get free from the sin that is holding me back." Let us pray. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that we can be in your presence this morning. And I thank you that you are working in our lives and through our lives. That you are our living hope. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. And you love each and every one of us so dearly. And wherever we are in life, Jesus, we know that you love us, you forgive us, and you are ready with arms open wide to accept us in. And I pray, Father, that you remove anything and everything that is preventing us from getting to you. And I thank you, Jesus, for paying the price that we can be reconciled back to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.